This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now we're talking about beef stew.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. Happy Thanksgiving.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for
yes.
ultimate beef stew.
We are in the building. My name is Big Stu. I'm in the building. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, coming in, logging in, however you got here. Happy Thanksgiving and all that. This is Beef Stew Radio. I will be on every Thursday, 11:30 p.m., and, you know, we're going to be talking about some topics and talking about a lot of stuff, you know. Today's topic is about the gangs, the guns, and the violence, and I got my co-host on the side with me. Cap, are you there? You still, you know, he's right here with me on the side. Yo, Cap, where you at, man?
Yeah, man. What's up?
What's good, man? You know what today's topic is about, man. We got all this crime going on right now. East Harlem got a harsh rash of crime going on. A lot of killings going on, not just in East Harlem, but in Brooklyn, the Bronx, and other places in America. So, you know, what you think about that, and what could we do to stop this, man?
Man, brother, that's an age-old question, man. Age-old question.
Age-old, huh?
Yeah. I mean, but we got to keep talking about it, man, until we can get a solid solution going on. But it's so, like, it's just deep, man. You know, I just think we just need to get into the discussion and start trying to figure this out.
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing, you know, a lot of people says, Cap, man, it's the first thing people say. They say it starts at home. What you feel about that? You think it starts at home?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a part of it, man. You know, especially, like, what's happening in America is you got a lot of African Americans who, unfortunately, from what media does, don't love themselves enough, man.
Mm-hmm.
And we perpetuate these negative thoughts, man. And when it keeps overturning and overturning, you know, so it does start at home, but at the same time, you know, when your kid leaves the house, what he's exposed to, you just got to hope he remembers everything that you said.
And that's a good point right there because, you know, a lot of people are hardworking people. You know, they're hard. Say the parents, that both of the parents is working. It's actually impossible for both parents to keep their eyes on their child all day and all night. So when the kid leaves home, you know, the kid can get into anything. So, you know, is it fair for us to say it starts at home? What about the good parents? Because some of these kids come from good homes. Some of these kids who have died come from good homes. And some of these kids who became killers have come from good homes. So is it fair for us to say it starts at home?
Well, I mean, it can go both ways, but one thing I can say, man, just based on my own experience, is when you're taught to love yourself, it's a little harder for you to act out on someone, especially someone that looks like you. You know, and I think that's what's important, man. If you have that reinforced in the house, at least for me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't look at another black person and be like, okay, I'm going to do this or do that to them. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a reflection of yourself. It was reinforced enough. You know, and that don't mean you won't stray. I've strayed sometimes. I wasn't a troublemaker, but, I mean, I got into some stuff.
And, you know, folks, y'all can call in if y'all listening out there, y'all have, you know, your own opinion. The number is 914-338-1685, 914-338-1685. Call us up, you know, give us your take on the topic. But once again, like I was saying, you know, we say there are good parents and it starts at home. But now, in a day and age that we live in now, you know, they cut out a lot of programs. Do you think that has a lot of effect, too? Like, there's not that many after-school programs. There's not that many, you know, the Boys Club. I know somebody that works in the Boys Club, and they be saying how they funding and everything is down. You know what I'm saying? So do you think the recession has a lot to do with the inner-city violence?
Well, even deeper than a recession, man, because these programs were being cut long before, you know, the serious recession kicked in. We were always hearing, you know, music programs are getting cut, you know, like athletic programs are getting cut. You know, it's like these kids need something to do, man. You can't just come home and, you know, look at the four walls or television or Xbox. you need something else to be around some actual people, man. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's no focus. Like you said, the parents are out and hard working. The kid's sitting in the house by himself mm-hmm. or these hours bored. That's just more trouble to get into, man. And you know, you got to think about it as kids. When you have no direction to be turned into, you're going to do some
mm-hmm.
mischief. That's any race.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
know?
Right. Well, you know, I want to talk about this kid. You know, when I was working for New York City Housing Authority, and I worked downtown on the Lower East Side, and a young kid. You know, I was doing research and doing my study on this whole situation. I ran into a research on the kid that I actually know who got killed. And we're gonna talk about him right after that, but we're gonna take a caller. We got a call on the line. Caller, are you there? Hello. Hello?
Yes, hello. I'm here.
Yes, hi. What's your take? First of all, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
We're talking about the guns and the violence. What do you think that we could do to help stop it?
Well, I hear you talking about the economy and how the economy might affect what's going on in today's youth. I mean, it's possible, you know. A lot of people losing their jobs. A lot of parents can't send their kids to proper programs or schools to keep them out of trouble. So, you know, it's a lot of factors to why things are going the way they're going.
Now, what you feel about that, Keith? You know, the young lady just said parents can't send, you know, these kids to the proper schooling. And schooling, we also know, is like overcrowded and all that. Do you think that has a lot to do with what's going on now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so multi-layered, man. You think about, you know, kids are naturally mischievous anyway. I mean, kids tend to be mischievous just for the move toward independence when they're figuring out who they are. That's when the defiance kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got one teacher trying to control plus 40 students. I think when I was in elementary, we had, I think, 30 kids. I'm hearing they got like 40, 50 kids to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
With all those different attitudes and backgrounds and teachings. You know, you got one parent that'll say, you know, respect the kids, and you know, the next one that says, well, if they touch you, you break their neck. Like you know, you get all these conflicting lessons, and you got one person that has to control all that.
Now, I want to ask the caller that. Caller, I don't mean to call you caller. What's your name, ma'am?
My name
Hello,
is
you
Nicole.
Still there? Nicole?
Yeah,
okay, Nicole. Okay. Now, are you a parent yourself, Nicole?
Yes, I am.
Now, do you worry about your children in the school system with the gun violence? You know, do you worry about kids bringing guns to school and doing things to your child in school? Do you worry about that?
Oh, of course. Any parent would, you know. And nowadays, the teachers are so overwhelmed. Like you said, there's 40, 50 students in one class. And now they're shutting down, I think, a whole bunch of more schools is getting ready to close down. Like, and where do all these kids go? What do they have to, what's the outlet for them? What they going to cram them in another school full of 50 kids in the class already? It's amazing. And then the teachers are overwhelmed, so they're not enthusiastic to teach 50 kids. How do you get through to 50 people, you know?
Yeah. Now,
eventually
they throw their hands in the air, and they go,
you know what, I'm just
going to
collect my check.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
That's the attitude that's going on.
Yeah.
Well, this young man, Shaitiq Bowman, he was killed in Staten Island for a bracelet, which turned out to be not even a real bracelet. You know, it turned out to be some costume jewelry, maybe like gold-plated or something. And, you know, his killer was caught. And that's something else, too, you know. And another issue that a politician friend brought to me, Cap, that's kind of deep. He told me about, you know, not only are these kids dying and they're getting killed, but the families have no insurance to pay for these kids' burial.
Yeah.
Now, how deep is that, you know? Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, I actually know people that went through that, man. You know, there was no money to bury the kid, and they were trying to collect, you know. And, you know, fortunately, they were able to do something. But the stress that they had to go through, you know, to do that, you know, anyone whoever has a loved one, you want to say goodbye in the most respectful and proper way. And there's no money, you know. Mm-hmm. Like the funeral home has a business, so they're going to give us so much leeway.
So, Ms. Nicole, what do you feel about that? Do you know anybody that, you know, as a family, that they lost a family member and they couldn't pay for the funeral?
Well, yes, I know a couple of people as well that, you know, things like that have happened to them. They lost somebody and didn't have enough money or any insurance to pay for the burial. But that goes again with the economy. You know, you're struggling day by day, and we live in hoping our kids grow, you know, and become adults. And, you know, and of course things happen with children and anybody, but it's just you live day by day hoping nothing happened, and it's sad. And a lot of people can't afford a lot of things that's really necessary for everyday living.
Well, yeah. I say this too, man. What needs to come back? Cause back in the days, there was always some kind of rule. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and this is funny, but it's true. It's like you got different versions of violence. Because violence is not going away. That's human nature.
For sure. That's for sure.
And it's the foundation of this country, is violence. Think about the day that we're celebrating today. Today was really a day of mass murder.
That's why
you
we picked the topic today, you know?
You know, like, I don't celebrate Thanksgiving. I celebrate family. I don't celebrate what it was, because it's a war of lies. They talk about they sat down and had dinner and everybody. Nah, man, they gave disease and murder. But you know,
no, you know what?
That.
I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me. Have a comment.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Well,
go
you know, I think, you know what? I agree. You know, we all know what Thanksgiving was about and how did it come, but I just think everybody needs to overcome it, own it, and celebrate what our ancestors gave up back in those days and how they were tricked into what happened to them. I think we should make sure Thanksgiving stay big and celebrate it and make sure we celebrate that they. You know, they sacrificed everything because they had trust for people that was, you know, sneaky and conniving. And I think we should always keep Thanksgiving big and keep it a celebration of, you know, at least getting our land back in some sort of way, you know.
that's an interesting take. I mean, I definitely see your point on that. That's an interesting take.
You know,
what's
the point of don't even live in that? You know, let's just own it and keep Thanksgiving bigger and bigger and just let it be something we celebrate as far as how far we came, how far we went, you know, with the people that sacrificed their land and everything else. You know, offering a happy meal and it turns into, you know, deceit, you know. But our meal going. We always going to keep
that's
our
another
hearts,
topic,
hearts
but...
open and keep Thanksgiving, you know.
That's another topic because something that I wanted to bring up too, Cap, was the fact that the gangs, like we look back and we see when gangs originally started from Five Points. Gangs wasn't even in the early days. The original gangs wasn't even in the African-American and the Latin community till maybe like the 1940s and then the 1970s, maybe the Latin community in the 1940s, a little earlier from the Zoot Suits time. But the African-American community, maybe like with the Crips and stuff really heavy, maybe you say the 1960s when they really started forming. But the 1920s and the 1930s, it was really, you know, the Caucasian people who really did the gang thing, you know? And a lot of people don't realize that, you know.
Yeah, and you know, from history, they really had a lot of things locked down from politicians, government, everything, you know. So, we're in the spotlight.
Yeah, I will say, though, the one big difference, and maybe this isn't on all points, But I think the difference is with some of those gangs, they took that money and they flipped it. I just don't think enough people in the black gangs are looking at that. They're looking more at self. It's like, okay, can I get this car?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Splurge and make it rain.
Definitely was more into the property and trying to own part of the city. That was definitely more of a factor back then.
Well, we have another caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Hello?
Hello? Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Yes, yes. How you doing?
I'm good.
We thank you for joining us on this topic, and happy Thanksgiving. And we want to hear what you have to say about this topic.
Well, I'm listening to it now, and, you know, I heard somebody talking about that it would never change because it's been going on for a long time. We need to change the norm. This should not be normal. This should, you know, it really needs to be changed. Everybody needs to work together as a unity and try to help these youth. You understand? Because I work right now as an outreach worker with these youth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do? And how do? And what do your, you know, your program do to help them?
My program is called Operation Snug. We out here in Harlem, and we located like maybe 10 other places out here.
Uh-huh.
What we do is we reach out to the youth that's in gangs, that's been
uh-huh.
shot, that's, you know, liable to shoot.
And
we just sit back, you know, we just go out there, you know. We go out there, we recruit these kids, we talk to them. And we just talk to them. And we have a whole bunch of kids right now that listen to us. You know, some of them already went to college. These are kids that's been shot before or has been shooting. And we've been out here since January. And we have reached out to more than 100 kids, and they are really doing what they're supposed to be doing. Now, a lot of them have old beef. You know, old beef will always come back to you, and we're trying to teach them that. You understand? Like, you have to teach them these different things, but we have to reach out to these kids. A lot of these kids don't have no one to talk to. You understand?
Yeah,
a lot
true.
Of them just, they go out there in the streets because they don't have no one to talk to. You know, they don't feel the love at home or whatever, you know, whatever the case is. And they out there just looking to fit somewhere. You understand? And it's so
yeah.
sad. We really need to reach out to these youth. And a lot of adults.
Now, let me ask
is,
you.
Yes.
Not to cut you off, but let me ask you something. Do you feel it's the music? That's one thing I want to get into. Like, a lot of people, there's a bunch of people that said, oh, it's the new rap music. Do you think that it's the music that's making these kids do what they do?
And somewhat, I can say it is, because I hear a lot of these kids, like, they'll sit back and they will repeat the same music. You understand? And some of them will be like, yeah, I can shoot like that. You understand? So a lot of the music has stuff to do with it. You know, a lot of these rappers, they some of these kids' role models. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So when you somebody role model, you watching them and you trying to do what they do. You know,
I mean, you know, I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to, you know, cut in a little bit. You know, my opinion too, I don't know if it's the music, you know, because, come on, we all been listening to all kind of music. I like rap to rock, you know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
it didn't make me want to go out there and do nothing crazy. I think a lot has got to do with sometimes home life, sometimes these kids, like you said, don't have nobody to talk to,
mm-hmm.
don't have nobody to express what they, you know, what they need to get off their chest. If you're right, somebody do need to reach out and get in touch with the youth, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, our youth is really getting into a lot of violence and,
yeah, it's just so sad. Like, I have a son now. When I started working this job, I kind of abandoned him a little bit. He felt abandoned because my time was a lot with the kids in the street. Like, if somebody got shot, I would have to run out there. You understand? To reach out to the family, reach out to the other gang to make sure they not coming back to retaliate. This is the type of job we do. Like, we get involved with a lot of gunfights. You understand? Like, we really out there. And I seen my son changing a little bit. You understand? He started listening to certain things, and he just wanted to be around some of the tough kids. They try to start a gang. You understand?
Wow.
I had to sit back and talk to my son, like, listen, y'all think y'all gangs? Let me tell y'all how many gangs we got out here in Manhattan. We got about 65 gangs out here. You understand?
Wow.
Y'all don't have nothing. Y'all got gangs out here that's ready to retaliate against anybody. So y'all keep calling yourself gangsters. They're going to come around here, and they're going to do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Then I
That's
went back
exactly.
to the parents. I reached out to all the parents of these kids, and that was dead. That gang was completely dead.
Okay. That see. Well, that's the first step. We need more people to do the right thing, because it's hard to get people to do the right things nowadays. So many people are talking about minding their business, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, we were talking about it, Mr. Music. I know Cap wanted to introduce some music. We wanted to jump into some music real quick. And then I want y'all to stay on the line, callers, because I want to come back to y'all, and I want to keep talking to y'all, because I'm feeling y'all points and I'm feeling what y'all are saying, because both of y'all are mothers. But I want to jump into this song. Cap, you want to introduce this song real quick?
Yeah, but I also want to say I'm not sure. I know we still have two callers online. I think someone is playing something, playing the radio show directly from the radio, so we're getting like the crazy, like delayed playback of our own voices.
I'm
so,
sorry, that's
whoever,
me.
Whoever that is, you can turn it down.
Yeah. That's me. Turn it down, Alex.
We was in the serious echo chamber. But this song is actually from a Harlem native, Mortal Technique. He's really heavy in the like the political realm as far as his music. And just telling the truth about America. This particular song really caught my ear. It's called Civil War. It is graphic for those who don't want to hear the cursing, but it's a Mortal Technique. It's Killer Mike, Brother Ali, and Chuck D is in the chorus. It's from his free download album called The Martyr. So
okay.
Let's run that.
Let's get into it.
Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yeah. Killer Mike, fuck Terminator, Brother Ali, fuck Lambo, no, yeah, yeah. The ghetto is like a prison with invisible bars. No matter where you at, it always follows you where you are. And it's hard out there for a pimp to get out of, but it's harder for the hooker that he beats the shit out of. I got niggas underground in the Confederate States, ironically running from slavery that prison creates. So I never hate on the South, I respect their vision. I just hate on niggas that promote Samboism and white execs that love to see us in that position. They reflect the stereotypes of America's vision. They want us dancing, cooning and hollering, only respect us for playing sports and modeling. More than racism, it's stay in your places. The more people are trapped in practical black racism. So fuck a civil war between the North and the South. It's between fields, niggas and slaves that are stuck in the house.
Civil war for the soul of a nation. This is a struggle to save civilization. Demonstration overthrowing the occupation. The annihilation of mental colonization. Civil war for the soul of a nation. We fight for the future of our civilization. Destroy the corrupt government organizations. Trying to survive cultural assassination.
Rich niggas, blood niggas, essays, Asians. Why the fuck we born with each other's population? The devil wanna dead all our population, people in both nations. Why the separation? Why we got Jamaicans hating on Haitians? When the British and French rape both nations, Mexicans and blacks kill each other straight hating. While the government profits from prison population. If you on the bottom, be you Anglo or Asian, you gotta recognize the realness in what I'm saying. You gotta recognize another G ain't the enemy. When the police ride and kill us frequently, we gotta make the youth see where the truth be. If you achieve, then grow and develop GD. 50 years of gains and our people still poor. If we really run the streets, we should really end war.
Civil war for the soul of...
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. You know, it's deep about it, because he's trying to say, I feel him because he's trying to tell all the gangs to stick together to stop killing.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So, you know, we need for, like, Rick Ross, Ace Hood, Lil Wayne, Young Jeezy and them to do a new version type of self-destruction type of song.
Mm-hmm.
To reach out to them, you know. We need the rappers. That's what I feel. I think we need the rappers kind of, because, you know, they can live, we can preach to them a lot, too, and it's good to talk to them at home, but it's what they see on TV to me. It's like, you know, because they wear their pants hanging down. Even after it got put out there that if you wear your pants hanging down like that, it was said that, you know, you was being taken advantage of in prison. But it
mm-hmm.
didn't change the young youth mind. It seemed like the pants even got pulled down lower just to be make even more of a statement.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I think the people that's the role models for them, the basketball players, the rappers, and, you know, the actors that they like
mm-hmm.
on TV, I think if they start, you know, coming together and do something united and make it an issue, because that's what happened before in the 80s. You know, a lot of killings was going with the drugs, and then Chuck D and all of them put something together, and it kind of declined. I'm not saying it went away, but at least we was all on the same vibe of sticking together. You had a bunch of people wearing X hats, and, you know, you had people, you know, the music was making a little difference. At least we was on a good vibe for a second, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Well, yeah, it definitely, you know, it does have an impact. Like, some people, I guess, like when you get corporations and you get artists who are going to defend themselves, if someone is saying what they're doing is wrong, they're going to say, well, my music doesn't influence anybody. But that's far from the truth, because any words of repetition that's played over and over into your psyche, subconsciously, you intake some of that. Now, how
mm-hmm.
much you intake, that's determined by the individual. But you do take some of it with you, you know, because
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. it's part of your experience of life. And now it's repetitive. How do we get good at things, or how do we remember things? And we constantly dig it in our brain, and it becomes us. So the music definitely plays a part. Man, just imagine if this was all just positive stuff. What if a dude was like, you know, well, yeah, you are. What if everybody's like, you are a fool if you wear tight pants, or you know, you a fool if you are killing your brothers. Like, we can't respect you. Like, you nothing. And all the rappers said that. You think these
mm-hmm.
kids would still be out there on a whim trying to kill somebody?
You know, that's really the whole essence of life. You have your freedom of choice, freedom of everything. If everybody was doing everything at the same time, of course that would be the case. But you know, we got to deal with. I don't know. I don't know if it's all the music. Maybe you're right, you know.
Well,
but
I'm saying it's a part of it. Because when we think of influence, like the same thing that you're doing, which is very commendable, you're out there and you're talking to kids. So imagine if these people were talking to them too. It would have
mm-hmm.
an impact. Now,
like
I said at the top of the show, it's never going to stop. And let's just be realistic. We can control the numbers. So if you save one kid, 10 kids, 100 kids, that's what needs to be done. It's never
right.
going to totally stop, because violence and war between people who are like each other or different, we can go back to the beginning of time. And it hasn't stopped yet. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to stop. But
okay.
like, we can help lower the numbers of how
yeah, we can. Mm-hmm. Can I say something?
Yes, go ahead.
So far, we haven't had any shooting. Well, last night there was a shooting. Somebody did get hit last night. But before that shooting, our streets have been clean for 42 days. And I'm only I'm talking from 125th Street all the way up to 147th, from Lenox all the way up to St. Nick.
Mm-hmm.
There haven't been no shooting for the past 43 days. Now, last night there was a shooting. Somebody did get hit last night. But, yeah, we have reached out to these kids. I'm serious. Like, you just got to talk to them. You understand? Like, you can't
mm-hmm.
talk to them like you're trying to preach to them. You got to talk to them like you they homies some type. You understand? And educate them at the same time. You understand?
Well,
yeah.
Well, it was a great show. The show is almost over. I'm sorry to cut you off. It's a deep conversation. Once again, I'm your host, Big Stu. I thank all my callers. Happy Thanksgiving again. I really appreciate y'all for calling in and letting me know your opinion. Check us out next week. We'll have my man Kev get his cook on. He'll be here talking about relationships and cooking for the women and all that. It's going to be a real good show. Kappa, you know, we always do our thing. Once again, this is BeefStewRadio.com every Thursday, 11:30 p.m. And thank everyone who tuned in. Happy Thanksgiving and good night,
you
y'all.
You too. Good night.
All right, good night.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew.